We look to the Lord and ask the Lord to bless in this service today. Lord, we go to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and ask you to come and visit us this day with your anointing. God, that you may, by the power of the Holy Ghost, that God, you may fall upon this place today, and the riches of thy blessings and thy power and thy anointing may be here today. Lord, we know that only through the anointing of the Spirit of God can the yoke be broken. We can't do this within ourselves. It's not something that we have the power, the strength, or any way whatsoever to do. God, we cannot transform lives within ourselves. We cannot change lives. And Lord, it only by the preaching of the word, by the preaching of the cross, and by the power of the gospel through the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And God, that we will just by your Spirit, Lord, we will walk, amen, and fulfill that which you have ordained and give us to do through thy Spirit. God, you have your way, Lord. You come and move. And Lord, we'll just praise you, Lord, and magnify you for what you're doing. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. God is good, amen. And I've walked with him for a lot of years and a lot of time. And, you know, the Bible tells us about a fact where that people would love darkness rather than light. And I remember years and years ago when I was raised in a church that their doctrines accepted the Holy Ghost of God, but they didn't openly preach it or teach it in their churches. And as a young man that was not a well on speaking, not good with speaking, almost stuttered a little bit. And it was a hard thing for me to get up before anybody because I was kind of withdrawn to a point financially. I'd come from a poor home and you know, didn't have the normal things that people had and was looked down upon and made fun of to a point because of my poorness. And for all those different reasons, it was hard for me to get up before somebody or to speak. And I had put this thing off with the Lord. I had told the Lord, I can't do this. I just can't do this. And I remember the first service that God, after I'd said, "Oh, okay, Lord, I'll do it," I remember God gave me 30 souls. The first message I ever preached, he gave me 30 souls at the altar and crying and weeping and the power and the anointing of God. Amen. Falling in that place. Amen. Well, before long, it caused a stir. Amen. People was the ones that received him from God, they liked it. But those old self-righteous biddies, as the old saying goes, that didn't want to get right with God, boy, they wore it up. Amen. And my pastor, I had not been saved under this pastor, but he had been one of the men that had encouraged me to go ahead and preach. And he had given me his pulpit freely and told me that I could, when he was out of town, he said, "No, you let them have it. Boy, you really preach to them." And so I preached what God told me to. I preached the love of God. And, then they set me forth to ordain me. And I remember the church board that, not only the church board, but the organizational board that they moved me from a level of the local church and moved me up to the ordainment board of the organization. And they met with me and they told me not worry, that fresh anointing would go away and I'd simmer down and get to be normal. Well, 40-some years later, that was back in 1968, and 40-some years later, 42, heading towards 43, I've never been normal since, amen. And I had the hardest time, and I remember a friend of mine that went on to his reward. I remember he told it when I came into the wholeness organization, the pastor and the pastor had come against me and they said they didn't want the Holy Ghost. They didn't want it in their church. And the district regional overseer over all the districts of Virginia and West Virginia and down into North Carolina, he had me to come to his office and he told me, he said, "Listen, you're going to be have a rough way because they don't believe what you preach. You're dynamic in what you preach, and they don't accept this. They don't want it." and you're just going to have trouble. He said, you're evangelistically called, and you're called to go to the people. And he said, I wish our organization had a place for you, but they won't accept you. And well, that was hard, but anyway, I went on, and he gave me a letter and made some phone calls, and he introduced me to a wholeness organization. At that time, I thought was, well, boy, I've done went to heaven. I've got a place where they want the power of God. And I went, and they was shouting and dancing, and I thought, oh, this is heaven on earth. I found it. I found the place. Amen. So I began to preach, and a friend of mine that's went on to his reward, I started to mention this a minute ago. He come to me and he said, Brother Gold, he said, I'm going to tell you. He said, I've told this to the other brothers here in the church. He said, you're in for a great surprise. He said, because you don't acknowledge that people don't want this thing. He said, you believe to the uttermost part of God's word that this is real. This is what the church needs. This is what everybody needs. And he said, you're going to be hurt and shocked when you find out in this organization, you're going to find people just like the one you come from that don't want it. And I thought, well, brother, you know, you've kind of got that nail hit on the head. Well, in the next few years, I seen that take place. And I found out that that organization was made up of liberals. It had so many liberals in it. I found out it was made up of people that was in seem right way. I found out it was made up of people that have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. And God said, from such turn away. Well, as the years went on, about 13 years, and we preached in many, many states throughout the country and revivals and crusades and camp meetings, and the power of God would fall and the Holy Ghost would fall. We've seen meetings where 500 was slain at one time. We've seen meetings where 200 was slain at one time. Well, before long, they had a committee researching me. I got the paperwork in my file to this day. And I can't believe that men that was Christians and that men said they was Christians and men that said they was called of God and men that was wholeness men, so they all said, I can't believe that they written on the paper the thing that they said. They tried to explain the power of God. They tried to explain what happened in my meetings. They tried to explain why people fell out. And they claimed that I would blow on them and I'd blow in my hands. And these people would go into trances. And I went and sat at the committee and I looked them square dead in the face. I said, I'm appalled that men that are called of God would be this idiotic and would literally not know the Holy Ghost. All of my ministry, I have found a crowd of people that didn't know Christ but profess to know him. I have found a crowd of people that did not know the Holy Ghost but claimed as they preached and as they ministered and they believed the Holy Ghost was real. I'm going to tell you something. The devil believes he's real. The devil knows he's real. Amen. Amen. And the devil stays out of his way. Amen. I'm going to tell you one thing. The one weapon that the devil can't do nothing with, he can't do nothing about, he can't stop, is the anointing of the Holy Ghost, is the power of God, and is the Spirit of God. And this is the thing that the angels desire to look in on. When the power of God falls and manifests himself. Amen. The one thing in the world today that the devil has tried to stomp out the knowledge and tried to stomp out that preachers would call it foolishness. They would call it of the devil. They would call it everything in the world. And we live in a county here today that this thing is so, amen, it is so taken over by the powers of hell that the majority of the preachers stand in the pulpit and call it of the devil and say that it's not of God. And people that talk of tongues are of the devil and go on and on and on and on and stroke themselves on the chest and boast how they'll never allow it in their church, and you can feel free that this will never happen here. Well, that's the God's truth. It'll never happen in most of those churches. It'll never happen in churches that have a seem right way. It'll never happen in churches that fail to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and tell men and women they've got to repent of their sins and come out of their sins. It'll never happen where they walk disorderly before God. It'll never happen where they partake of the world and the flesh is caught up in the things of the world and they have no spiritual desire. That church is just a thing to do to make their conscience feel good. The church is just a place to go a few times a week for an hour or so where they can be patted on the back and their ears can be tickled. But I tell you something, there's a day coming that church membership ain't going to carry you through. There's a judgment coming, and knowing the preacher and shaking the preacher's hand and going down to an altar where they pat you on the back and tell you a sin is all right. I heard a guy tell me yesterday how they went to a pastor right here in town. And they went to that pastor and they talked to that pastor, and that pastor told them that it wasn't necessary to be sorry for your sins. You didn't have nothing to do with getting forgiveness or anything like that. God already took care of it through Jesus Christ. And everybody joined the church and everybody come into the church, they were saved. And you didn't have anything more to do. You never had to be sorry or pray a prayer of repentance, that Jesus had already took care of that. Well, that's partly true. But let me tell you something. The Bible said, amen, that we, amen, must confess our sins, amen. We must be sorry of those sins. We must, amen, come to a place that we know that sin is wrong, and we must depart from it. We must offer up our souls. The Bible said we are a living sacrifice. We must offer ourselves up to God, amen. And we must come before God and produce ourselves, and our life must be meat for salvation. It must be an example that Jesus Christ has come through and made a change. You can't keep spitting your back on your snuff. You can't keep snorting your cocaine. You can't keep smoking your cigarettes and drinking your liquor. You can't keep lusting with that old lustful eye. You can't keep living in the lust of the flesh, and you can't keep living in the pride of life and have this Jesus I'm talking about. That's the reason men don't want the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost shall separate you. The Holy Ghost, amen, I'm telling you today, church, the Holy Ghost will bring you to the place where you gotta get right or get out of the way. When I got in the thing, they was preaching get in, get out, or get run over. They melted their message down. They compromised their message, and the church is backslid on God. We need preacher that'll stand square and say sin is sin, devil is devil. And we need preachers that don't preach this thing for filthy lucre's sake. They preach it cause God called them, cause God anoints it, and God has put it in their spirit, and God has put it in their mouth, and they need to cry loud and spare not. They need to be the watchman on the wall. I'm telling you today, amen, when men and women, when preachers, I told somebody this week, we got to fix the preachers. We got to get the preachers prayed through in this county before we ever have revival. We got to get the preachers prayed through. As long as they still compromising, as long as they still letting anything go, as long as they're knocking the Holy Ghost. We got preachers in this town, if the Holy Ghost starts to move, they'll change the order of the service right quick. They'll jump up and they'll stop it. And they won't allow it to happen. That's because they ain't right with God. You show me a person that denies the Holy Ghost of God, and I'll show you somebody stealing their sins. You show me somebody, amen, that bucks against the Holy Ghost and want to have nothing to do with the Holy Ghost, and I'll show you a man, I'll show you a woman that's still hell-bound, that's still in their sins. I remember standing in the First Street station of the post office in Radford, Virginia, several years ago. Man standing there telling me how that he didn't believe in the Holy Ghost. He said, I went to church and I went to those holiness churches and I never could get the Holy Ghost. I never could. And he said, I finally found me a church where I go to church and I don't need the Holy Ghost. I don't believe the Holy Ghost is real and I don't believe you have to have it. I don't believe there's nothing to it. While I was standing there listening to him before I ever said anything back to him, letting him empty all of his garbage and get it out of his system, amen. Here come a woman by us walking in the post office to get her mail. I thought he was going to knock me aside to look at her. When she'd been over to put the key in and get her mail out of her box, his eyes went X-ray vision on her backside. I said, brother, what your problem is you need to get saved. I said, you got a lust devil. You got a lust devil. And that lust devil controls your life and the Holy Ghost won't come in. And you say the Holy Ghost ain't real and you're on your way to hell. You found you some fat bellied preacher that'll tell you you can lust all you want to. You can sin all you want to. You can do anything you want to. Just put your money in his offering plate and come sit on his pew so he can strut around with his big ego and drag you to hell with him. Amen. Somebody said, Brother Gold, you're a little raw. I'm telling you something. God told me to preach this thing. God told me if there was any hope for this county, if there was any hope here, amen. We're in a county, amen, that the Christians voted in liquor by the drink. We're in a place that the Christians went to the polls and voted in liquor by the drink and went and sat on their church pews and denied the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm telling you, we need a revival. I'm telling you, we need God to fall. We need the preachers to lay prostrate before God and pray till they come up washed in the blood and baptized with the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. And I'm telling you, God's come to town. Amen. He talked to me back in the fall of the year. And he said, this is what you must do. See, I don't even want to be here. I don't even want to stay here. I'm tired of what I see. I'm sick at my stomach at what I see. I see an abomination beyond anything I've seen a stench beyond anything I've ever seen. I see something that's worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. And the problem ain't the sinner in the gutter. The problem is the self-righteous preachers that are in the pulpit. But that guy said, yeah, I don't need the Holy Ghost. No, because he was so lustful that his conversation with me would be in little blurts as he watched that woman go through the action of getting her mail. I've seen that from several of our pastors here in town. You could be carrying a conversation with them when a woman come along and they lost it. Amen. And they say they don't have the Holy Ghost like Brother Gold has. That's true. That's true. They got something that's a ghost, but it ain't holy. Amen. It takes a long time. I remember Parrott, Virginia. There was a pastor went over there years and years ago. Went in one of the holiness churches over there. Busted the doors and built that thing up. It was one of it was a runaway freight train. But I didn't bear witness with him. I didn't say a whole lot. Wasn't no use to. You know? Wasn't a bit of use to. But he get up on the radio and he'd go down and call. He'd call, and he would say, well, this one believes this, and this one believes that, and they believe in this second chance religion. He'd go on, and he'd get in his church, and he'd stomp around and preach against a little makeup and preach against a little slacks. Most preachers, that's all the message they got, they ain't got a message. There's a place that that needs to be taught, but I cannot get you saved today or get you delivered preaching on your clothes. You ought to put some on, and on a day like today, anybody got any sense, got some on. Amen. Amen. Coat and long handles and the whole nine yards. Amen. But anyway, what I'm going on to say, this preacher fooled everybody. He fooled that congregation. He fooled everybody. And the reason a lot of people don't like me is they can't fool the Holy Ghost in me. Amen. They can't get around that Holy Ghost. But I discerned that feller out, and I marked him. And I said, he's a $3 bill. Didn't say a whole lot about it. I was a younger minister. But I knew he was a $3 bill. Didn't take very long. It went on several years. They built up to be the biggest church on the district. Oh, they was rolling right along. To one day, see, this guy had come from a background of once saved, always saved, got out into wholeness, but he didn't drop off the once saved, always saved, and he claimed to have the Holy Ghost, but I never did bear witness with his Holy Ghost. And here's how it played out. He took up with a woman in the church, left his wife, and run off with that woman. And I guess to never enter the pulpit to preach again. Somebody said, well, he wasn't saved to start with. Well, you can hash that out, whatever. Whichever way it was, yeah, that's between him and God. But if he didn't repent, he was hellbound. Amen. And I've watched this thing. The Bible said, having a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. When you deny the power of the Holy Ghost, you have exed yourself out with God. You have canceled your salvation with God. Amen. When you deny the power of the Bible said, from such turn away. Noah. I think about Noah a whole lot. God has allowed me to just understand and have compassion for what that boy's going through. They mocked him and made fun of him. You know, I can't ever find one place that one person in that town ever helped Noah. I'm ahead of Noah anyway. I'm ahead of Noah in that part. But they mocked him every day of his life and made fun of him every day of his life. Called him a crazy old preacher. But he said, listen, unless you get your act cleaned up and believe in this God that's told me that this destruction is coming, this flood's coming, you're going to perish. Amen. They mock old brother Gold, make fun of him, and do whatever. But I'm telling you, if you're in a seem right way, you're going to perish. I'm going to tell you, if you deny the power of the Holy Ghost, you're going to perish. Somebody said, well, that mean I have to speak in tongues to be saved? No, it means you get to speak in tongues. Ain't nobody got a gun on you. It goes back to the desire of the heart. What do you love? The Bible said, you know, it proved that they love darkness rather than light. I asked you real simply, my friend, wherever you at today, do you love righteousness? Do you love light? He said, be ye holy as I'm holy. Without wholeness, no man will see the Lord. And I know the wholeness ranks of churches has made a mockery out of what wholeness is. But wholeness is being pure from the inside, purged by the blood of Jesus. Wholeness is having a heart and mind that's going to serve God come what may. Wholeness is the standard for God's people. It's what you'll have to go to heaven. And you'll have to have the power of God to get you there. And if you deny that power, it's an abomination in the sight of God. And all those that deny the power of God will be turned into hell someday. Preachers and all. Hell's going to be so full of preachers that, my land. It's like a cop being sentenced to a prison. A lot of cops get a gun and blow their brains out before they commit a crime. They blow their brains out before they put them in prison because they know what it is to live with the people that they beat over the head with billy sticks and done everything else to, and they wind up in the same prison with the people they have put there. Preachers, I'm going to tell you something. Listen, preachers are those that are workers in the kingdom of God. you need to understand something. You'll go to the same hell that the people that you are preaching to and denying the power and denying the Holy Ghost and denying the blood of Jesus. You'll be in the same hell with them. And as a preacher, I wouldn't want to be in hell with those people. Because they're going to say, "Preacher, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me the truth?" They're going to beat on you for eternity. It's time we get right, get ready to go on with God. In Jesus' name, we thank you for the message today. We thank you for the time that we've had to spend. Amen. The scroll's been pulled back. We've read off the scrolls of heaven. God asks you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, save that sinner. Rekindle the fire in that backslider's heart. Set free the captive. Heal, deliver. For that man or that woman that denies the power of God, let them realize today that God's power is real. In Jesus' name.